I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Of course, the him is Christ. The him there is the anointed one, the one sent from God. It is Jesus Christ our Lord. All things through Christ. If you understand what Philippians 4 is talking about, you need to understand it in terms of all things through Christ. If I can put it this way, everything you face in life is to be lived through Christ. In other words, Christ is your strength when you are weak. Christ is your stability when life is unstable. Christ is your joy when life hurts. He is your peace when you are anxious. He is your everything in anything you face. There's a popular term out there today that I don't know that Christians should necessarily use, but I'm going to borrow it. How do you cope with problems? Jesus, for the Christian, is how you cope, if I can put it that way. Jesus is how you cope with cancer, divorce, PTSD, bullying, shaming, abuse, alcoholism, anxieties, miscarriages, the premature death of a friend. Now, our world provides many opportunities to deal with suffering and to deal with pain, such as medicine and therapy and support groups. And you know what? These things bring relief. They do. And I'm grateful that God gives us some of these opportunities and so forth. But none of those can bring lasting peace or eternal joy. It can't. Only Jesus provides supreme hope that calamity and death are not final. Only Jesus promises elimination of pain and one day delivers elimination of pain. Don't you want to have a life free of pain? It's coming because of Jesus. Only Jesus strengthens you with never-ending joy in the darkness. See, I love this about Christianity. It faces the challenges and heartaches of life head on. Only Jesus stabilizes you with this knowledge. I am favored by God because of my Savior Jesus. Only Jesus gives otherworldly strength to meet life's challenges. There is no greater time than now for the Christian message, all things through Christ. This world is looking for answers, and we have it. All things through Christ. By the way, this is just an elaboration of the teaching of Jesus from John 15:5. Without me, you can do nothing. But you can do all things through Christ. You can face all things through your faith in Jesus Christ. If you forget him, dismiss him. If you ignore him or distrust him, you forfeit joy. That's the big theme throughout the book of Philippians. But if you remember him, you rejoice in all the events of life. So with that in mind, what Paul the apostle does here in the first five verses, he deals with conflicts. Conflicts in the church. All conflicts in the church can be done and faced through Christ. And he's going to say, when you face conflicts, rejoice in Christ. Now, there's a lot there, but we're not going to look at that tonight. We come to our text, verses 6 through 9. He's going to talk about anxieties. That's what our theme is tonight. And the apostle says, when you suffer anxieties, think on Christ. All things, all anxieties through Christ. And then verses 10 through 13, and really as it continues throughout the rest of the chapter, he is going to say, he's going to talk about necessities. When you lack necessities, rely on Christ. All things through Christ. And so tonight, I want us to look at verses 6 through 9, in which the apostle says, even your anxieties are to be faced with Christ and through Christ. So when you suffer anxieties, think on Christ. The world in which you live has been paralyzed by anxious thoughts and worry and fear. Think about this. In the history of humanity, we are the most insured society. Never have we had so much insurance in this life. Home insurance, car insurance, health insurance, life insurance, identity theft protection, antivirus software. You know why? Because we're scared. We are scared. We are desperate to eliminate the unknown, and we are fearful of catastrophes that might happen, so we try to insulate ourselves to soften the blows of potential catastrophes. So what do? We become control freaks. We control conversations. We control outcomes. We control relationships. We try to control money, control schedules, control consequences. We try to insulate ourselves from what we don't want. We are fearful. We are the most insured society in history. But I ask you, are we a world at peace? Yes or no? No. Because insurance doesn't give you peace. Nothing takes away the anxiety. Even we are not a joyful society. We are not a society at peace because nothing can bring that. Now the world thinks it can. Home invasion is a big problem in our world. And so we spend a lot of money in protecting our home. We have home security systems. One of the national known ones is a company known as ADT. It's a good company. They had a commercial not too long ago. I think it's off the air now. But it was a paid actress playing a mother but telling a true story about how, with children playing behind her in this commercial, she talks about how they came home one day and they surprised the invaders in their home. And it scared them and it scared the invaders and the burglars and they ran out. And she said they didn't take anything, but they stole our peace of mind. And then here comes the hook. But with ADT, we got our peace of mind back. That's a lie. The very fact that there are such things as ADT is proof that you have no peace of mind. Now, I'm not against home security systems. In fact, we're away from our home a lot as we travel. We secure our home with ADT. I've got no problem with those things. But you know, you'd lose your electricity, and ADT means nothing. So you see, we are not a joyful society. We are not at peace. But I ask, that's the world. What about the church? Are we in the church full of joy? Are we at peace? And sadly, the answer is often no. Because when the Christian is full of anxiety, it means he has forgotten Christ. She is not thinking. She is reacting to problems and potential problems. So what I'd like to do as we look at this text here tonight, we are going to see the possibility of anxious free living. And then we are going to see the peace in anxious free living. And then as God gives us strength, we will see the path to anxious free living. This is not a self-help message. This is a message about Jesus Christ. So let us see here, first off, the possibility of anxious free living. Is this even possible? Look at verse number 6 of Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Remember, all things through Christ. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be anxious for nothing. This is an exhortation. This is a command with the authority of heaven from the apostle. Do not worry. Do not fret. Do not be anxious about anything. Is that not an astonishing impossibility? How can the apostle say this? How can the Christian be expected to live like this? Obviously, the first century must have been different than the 21st century, right? I mean, we have nuclear bombs. We have gun violence. We have a country ripping apart. We have racism and abuse and injustice, unsafe streets, a rising national debt. We have Wall Street that likes to jump up and down. We have cancer, STDs. We have PTSD. We have bullying and cyber breach and cyber attacks. Be anxious for nothing is the Christian message even based in reality. Ah, what planet are you on, Paul? Well, this is entirely possible for the Christian. And I want to point this out because this is written to the church. If you are here tonight, and of course I don't know everybody, but if you're here tonight and you would classify, let's say you classify yourself as a non-believer, let's say it that way, this is not possible for you. Anxious-free living is not possible. It is only possible for those who have come to Jesus Christ, come to God through the cross. Because you see, it is at the cross where peace was won by the blood of the cross, Jesus Christ. What has the cross done? The cross has opened up a new and living way to God by the blood of Jesus. We talked about this, by the way, in the Sunday school hour, Jeremiah 33. The Christian, and only the Christian, has exclusive access to the one who is above his creation. Can I put it this way? God is not sitting in heaven twiddling his thumbs, concerned about tomorrow. He is above his creation. In fact, he has already declared the end from the beginning, and it's accomplishing exactly how he wants it to go. This is what sets the church off from the world. We have access to God through Christ. So what are we supposed to do? The apostle here says, so, verse 6, in everything, all our anxieties, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What the Christian does is we come boldly to the throne of grace with prayers and requests upon our lips. Now, we know what prayers are and these requests. Lord, I need this. But what is supplication? We're supposed to come with supplication. You know what supplication is? I don't remember who gave me this definition. It's a one-word definition of supplication, and it has been tremendously helpful to me, and I want to pass it along to you, and you'll never forget it. And it is this. Supplication means help. I need help. So what we do is we come to the Father through Jesus Christ. We come boldly to the throne of grace with prayers and requests upon our lips and pleas for help. Help, Lord, I'm hurting. Lord, I'm scared. Lord, I'm fearful. Help, Lord, my family is a mess. I lack wisdom. I need you. Come heal my broken spirit. Help me. My mind is plaguing me. Anxieties are choking me. Help. But not only with prayers and supplications, but with thanksgiving. In that prayer, Jesus, thank you for bringing this opportunity to remind me that I cannot do life without you. I need you. Thank you. And what happens? The prayers bring the peace of God to the son or daughter of God. For that's, let's move on to number two now. That's the peace in anxious-free living. It's possible because of Christ, but now that brings us the peace. And I realize you can sit here and say, prayers bring peace. Come on. Prayers are worthless. Like a bumper sticker I saw, nothing fails like prayer. Maybe you feel that way. Well, to that I answer, Scripture says differently. Let's see that. Verse number 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The answer to your prayers and your pleas for help with thanksgiving are a calm, peaceful, joyful heart. It doesn't mean the problem is removed, but in the fear and the heartache, the peace comes. In other words, God brings peace to your turbulent heart. Now again, you can object to that, and you can say you give people false hope. Christians like you live in a fantasy world. Tell it like it is. Prayer is a cop-out. Have you said this or have you heard others say that? Prayer is a cop-out. Why don't you give me something for the real world? All right, and to that I would answer, well, where else are you going to go to calm your anxious, hurting heart? I mean, where are you going to go when the doctor gives you 3 months? When you are blindsided, when you're overwhelmed, when you are betrayed, when you lose your job, when someone steals your money, when you are betrayed by a friend, when you lose a friend, when you are abused, when you are mistreated, where are you going to go to get a calm, peaceful, joyful heart? Are you going to drink yourself to a calm heart? Well, how do you feel after a night of hard partying? Peaceful? You going to turn to pills or needles or move to a state where there's legal marijuana? Some people do that. How long does that peace last? Are you going to porn your anxieties away? Sex them away? Welcome to a whole new set of problems. You say, that's all pretty scandalous. I don't go that way. All right, so what are you going to do to get yourself a calm, peaceful heart? You going to go on Netflix and binge watch your favorite show? Sure, you can take your mind off your problems for a while, but what are you going to do when the season ends? Your problems are still there. Nonstop music, put your earbuds in, get in the car, crank the music up so you don't have to think. Eventually, you're going to have to turn the music off. Your problems are still there. Your anxieties are still there. So enjoy what you have and laugh. But you're still going to have it when the show's over. You're going to work away your anxieties? Throw yourself into a worthy cause? Well, good for you. But no matter how hard you work, no matter how much you work at alleviating social injustice, which is good, when it's all said and done, guess who you can't get away from? You. Because everywhere you go, you are. So you're just going to get angry? You're going to get on social media and vent? You're going to use tough, vulgar language to show you're really on top of life? How's that working for you? To take away the pain? Does it give you joy and peace? No. So you can sit here and say, prayers don't work for the real world. Give me something for the real world. Well, all you're trying doesn't work for the real world. You've got nothing. See, but a peaceful heart from God in praying and an answer to prayer, it doesn't make any sense to me. Well, did you read verse 7? The peace of God, which is not going to make any comprehension to you. It's not going to make any understanding sometimes to you. Because you see, Christian life is a life of faith. It is not a life of sight. In the middle of the anxieties you can't handle comes God's peace you can't explain. That's why I love what Jesus said in John 14, 27. And listen, because listen to the contrast between his peace and the world's peace. Because you've been trying the world's method of getting peace. It doesn't work, does it? He says in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Because the world can't give peace. It's tried. You would think with all of our education, with all of our initiatives and all the smart people throughout history that we would have come up somehow with giving us peace, and we still can't figure it out. Then Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled, don't let it be afraid, because I have given you my peace. So my friends, I ask you, is the peace of God ruling in your heart tonight? There should be a marked difference between the church and the world in anxiety. There should be. This difference is best understood as the difference between reacting and thinking. Let's put it this way. When anxieties come, the world reacts to circumstances. But when anxieties come, the church thinks on Christ. This is the difference. So now let's come to our final thought, the path to anxious free living. It is possible because of Jesus Christ going to that cross, opening up a new and living way to God so we can bring our requests and our pleas for help to Him. And His peace comes to us. How does it come? Verses 8 and 9, when we think on Christ. Let's look at it. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Ah, here is the answer to anxieties. The very God of peace comes when you give your mind to Him. When you think in a Christian manner. As the scripture says, the apostle says to the Colossians in Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So I ask you, are you setting your mind on Christ, or are you surrendering your mind to things below? You see, worry is the opposite of thinking. Worry is reactionary. It is allowing circumstances to control your mind. Worry, let's use a Christian term here, worry is walking by your sight. It is walking by your understanding. Therefore, worry is anti-Christian because Christianity is walking by faith, not by sight. Here you are held captive by what has happened or what might happen. And rather than thinking with your mind, you are surrendering your mind. And in that sense, worry is the absence of thinking. But there is a better way to handle anxieties. You don't surrender your mind to things below. You set your mind on things above. You want an Old Testament verse? How about this? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean, trust on your understanding. Rather, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. He is the one who will direct your paths. So, are you thinking on Christ? Are you dwelling on the truths of the gospel when anxieties rise? Now, here in verse number 8, we have quite a list. Now, we can have a good long Bible study on these various topics, but I don't want to go into detail. I want to give you a big picture, all right? So, the idea here is, are you thinking in a Christian manner? Are you thinking on Christ? This is not an exhaustive list. That means there are more good things to think on. But this is a list that we can think upon. Now, I like how my wife put it to me one time. She said, Andy, is not Christ all truth? Is He not all honorable and all right and all pure? And she went through this list, and I said, yes. She said, so really, this is, are you thinking on Him? Are you thinking Christ? Do you respond to anxiety by thinking on that which is honorable, righteous, pure, gracious, godly, so on and so forth? Because when our thinking is right, our living is right, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the essence of living by faith. I choose to look to Jesus. Does He not take care of the birds and flowers? Am I not favored in His sight because of the Lord Jesus? Does He not have the power to protect? Is He not God in all His ways? Has He never stumbled and forgotten me? And so because this is true, I trust Him. I depend on Him. I rely upon Him. I give my fears to Him. I give my mind to Him. I give my anxieties to Him. This is living by faith. A.W. Tozer put it this way. Faith is the gaze of the soul on Jesus. The apostle to the Hebrews said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I think on Jesus and I follow Him. Now, this can be in big events and in small events. Can I finish with two examples as how I have seen it work in my life and in someone else's life? Let's talk about how this works in small events. This summer, last summer, I should say, back in 2017, I started having a great amount of problem and pain in my right eye. It started getting red. Now, this happens to me before, so I just put eye drops in. But it wouldn't go away. And the pain became even more intense and more red, and it wouldn't stop crying, you know? I didn't want to talk to people because all they were doing is just staring at my eye, and I got very self-conscious about that. But like a good man, I said, well, it'll go away. 2 weeks, I lived with pain. It got so bad that I couldn't go to sleep. It would keep me awake, throbbing and painful. So I finally got a doctor's appointment at the eye doctor. I went in there, and she sat me down, and she brought her assistant in. They turned off all the lights, and then they put this bright light right on my eye, you know. And I was trying my best, and then she said, look to the right. Oh, that's so painful. Look to the left. Ah, up, down. She's squirting all this stuff, and she's saying words I don't understand. And I thought this would be a fairly quick process, but she kept looking and kept looking. And the longer I sat in that dark room with that bright light and the pain in my eye after 2 weeks of dealing with this, thinking this is obviously not a quick change and a quick heal, my mind started playing games with me. Have you been there? Anxieties began to start rising up. And the one big word came to my mind, what if this is cancer? I mean, I thought it was just something like caught in my eye. What if she gets done and she says to me, Mr. Gleiser, you have cancer in your right eye. We must get it out right now. Well, my heart began to start thumping. I was having a hard time breathing the longer this went. I could feel the anxieties begin to start choking me. And it was at that moment, and I'm so grateful that the Holy Spirit brought a phrase to mind. There's nothing magical in the phrase. It was the phrase, Christ is enough. And I began to start thinking through that while she is doing all her stuff on my eye. Christ is enough. Andy, even if I lose my eye, I don't lose Christ. I'm going to be okay. Even if this is a lot worse and this is cancer, what if this never leaves me and I go blind? Christ is enough. Because I can lose my eyesight, I can lose my eyeball, I can lose everything I hold dear, but I can't lose Christ, and He is enough. And I was in that moment, I had to stop listening to myself, and I had to start talking to myself, telling myself what is true in Christ. And the Holy Spirit used that moment, and it was one of those physical moments. I could feel the anxiety start going down, and my breathing returned back to normal. And I was setting my mind on things above, not surrendering my mind and reacting. She finally finished and turned the light on, and she said, you have a viral infection. Here's a prescription. It'll be gone in a week. Now, she lied to me. It was gone in 3 days. In that moment, it was huge. It's kind of a small thing. It really is. But not in the moment. But setting my mind brought the anxieties down. I learned something in that moment. That's a small thing, but what about big things? What about when it actually is cancer? My friend Doug, he was a pastor in Indiana. He'd been an assistant pastor in a church for several years, and then God gave him the desire of his heart, and he became the pastor of a little church in eastern Indiana, church that had been struggling and some hurt, and he came in and loved them, and he pastored them for 6 or 7 years. He's having the time of his life, living his dream, when at 57 years of age, grandchildren, one daughter still at home, he started having pain. Went to the doctor, and the doctor did all the blood tests and all the work. And after several visits, finally released the diagnosis to my friend and said, Doug, you have stage 4 cancer. I believe it was pancreatic cancer. And in that moment, what my friend did is he had to know him. He hopped off the table and gave the doctor a bear hug, as though to say, "Doc, thanks for telling me the truth, but my God has this." And he lived 8 months. And in those 8 months, he fought hard, but cancer began to start winning over him. And being a pastor and being a friend, there were a couple of times in those 8 months that he had me come over and preach for him, because he was just not physically able to. And I loved going into his office before I would, on a Sunday morning, preaching for him, and we would pray. And I remember the last time I saw him on this earth. It was Easter of 2016. I was sitting in his office, and he only had 2 weeks to live. He was very pale. I couldn't believe he was there for the evening or for that Easter service, but he wanted to be there on, I should say, Resurrection Sunday. He would hate that I called it Easter. I miss him. And he said, "Andy, I am in so much pain, and I want to go home, but I'm ready to die. Because he who has taken care of me all of these years is not going to forsake me now." He said, "I'm ready to go. I hate that I'm leaving my family, but I know the God who's taken care of me is going to take care of my wife and my daughter." Daughter has some physical issues as well. And we prayed, and I rejoice this is not the last time I'm going to see him, because Jesus is alive. I will see him again. But that was the last time I saw him here on this earth. When I found out that he was diagnosed with cancer 8 months earlier, I found out what his life verses were. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I already quoted them. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." And the Lord just impressed upon me that I wanted to write a hymn from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 for in honor, certainly of Christ, but in honor of my friend Doug. And during his battle with cancer, I worked on it. And I was able to finish it, and at his funeral, his wife, his widow, asked me if I would... I was in town, I'm so grateful for that, that I would sing it. And that was the first time I had sung it. It's a song called "Trust Me." And I wrote actually the third verse first. It was a song, it was a question about, will you trust me when you face your final hour? Soon to leave this broken world, destined for my Jasper Tower. I am he who once was dead, now alive. My suffering done, you will live, for I arose. Come be with me, faithful one. I wrote that verse first. But then I went back and I wrote the first verse, which was based on Proverbs 3, 5. Do you trust me as your guide, though my path for you is steep? Will you lean on your own way or resolve to follow me? I am still your shepherd king who has led you with my love. Since I see beyond your view, surely trust me, faltering one. I miss my friend Doug, but I'm so grateful that in the midst of the big problems and pains of life, death, cancer, heartache, he kept setting his mind on Jesus Christ and not surrendering his mind. This sets the church off from the world. And this is, I'm afraid, why the world wants nothing to do with Christianity, because it looks at us and says, you are no different, because you fall apart when problems come. What a shame when we have Jesus Christ, all anxieties through Christ. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you
so much for Jesus. I thank you that we don't preach a self-help message. We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But Lord, it's hard to live in this world. There's a lot of pain and a lot of heartache and a lot of anxieties, and we're tired of it. We want you to come back. But it's hard living in this world. And I pray that you give your church grace to think on you and not give in to anxious thoughts. Capture our thoughts to the obedience of Christ. And I pray, Lord, that we would show this world that there is an answer to peace, an answer to problems, and it's your peace. Those in the world have no access to the peace of God because they are not yet at peace with God. But I pray that, Lord, everyone in here would, by the end of tonight, be at peace with God through Christ, so that they can have access to the peace of God. Give us grace to believe this. Give us grace to repent of our unbelief and anxiety. Thank you, Lord. Amen.